Reading from Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. We pray that you will be filled with God's mighty, glorious strength so that you can keep going no matter what happens. Colossians 1, 11. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, April 8th, 2025. Jumping right into our last 2 days of our series by Pastor Rick Warren, Habits That Help You Hold On During Hard Times. He begins with a review, with today helping us focusing on how to keep moving toward your goals. Here's Pastor Rick Warren.
In the last two messages on habits that help me hold on and handle hard times, we looked at the first four habits. Now, the first four habits that help me handle hard times are: keep my life clean, keep my eyes open, keep my purpose firm, and keep my heart grateful. But today, we're only going to look at one, habit number five. And the fifth habit that helps us hold on and handle hard times is this: I must keep moving toward my goals. I must keep moving toward my goals. Now, no matter what the circumstances are that I'm facing, I should be moving toward the goal because I believe God has led me to set that goal, and no matter what's going on around me, I'm going to keep moving toward my goal. Once you've written down that phrase, keep moving toward my goal, I want you to circle the word moving, because movement is an important concept in following Jesus Christ. You see, listen, you can't follow Jesus without moving. You can't be a disciple just by finding a cave and sitting still. You have to move in order to follow Jesus, because he's moving. So if you don't move, you can't follow him. Now, let me explain this. This is one of the major differences between Christianity and Eastern religions like Buddhism and Hinduism. A lot of the Eastern faiths are actually more passive. And the holiest people in those religions are those who spend the most time doing nothing. In other words, the more you sit, the more you meditate, the more you're quiet, the more holy you are. In contrast, following Jesus requires action. It requires faith. It requires taking risks. It requires movement to follow wherever Jesus leads. Now, of course, the Bible has a lot to say about being still and about being quiet and about waiting on God. But that's not the ultimate end or goal of life, just to sit still and go into nothingness. No, the teaching of Jesus is full of action verbs like go, do, obey, learn. Action verbs like share, serve, tell, and even battle terms in the scriptures like fight, conquer, overcome, and win. You see, the words of discipleship in following Christ are action verbs. In fact, the Bible often compares life in Christ to a walk or a journey or a race. And all three of those metaphors of life require that you take steps, that you move, you take steps, that you make progress. Now you say, well, how do I do that? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today, and keep moving no matter what's happening in your life. Keep moving toward the goal God has given you. Now, you remember in the first message of this series, I said that in times of rapid change or in times of uncontrollable factors like we've been facing the last couple years, or in uncertain times where you don't know what's going to happen next, you don't give up on planning and setting goals. No, you simply set shorter goals, short-term goals. And when circumstances make long-term planning irrelevant, you just narrow your time frame. What you don't do is just drift along without any purpose or without any intention, because life's uncertain. How do you keep moving toward your goals in uncertain times? You remember that I encouraged you in the start of this series to set a 100-day plan for your life. Why? Because that's a reasonable amount of time that's not going to overwhelm you. Now, if you're just joining in the series today, it's not too late to get on board with this. You just need to answer two questions. Spend some time this week thinking about these two questions. What's the most important personal goal, the most important personal goal I'd like to accomplish in the next 100 days with God's help? And the second question is, what's the most important ministry goal? That's something to help others. What's the most important ministry goal to help others that I'd like to accomplish in the next 100 days with God's help? I'm not asking you to set 100 goals. I'm asking you to set 2, a personal goal and a ministry goal. Now, I want to answer today the simple question of how do I keep moving toward my goals even in hard times? And I want to suggest to you 8 steps that are going to keep you moving forward. And I know these can really help you. So pull out your message notes, okay? Pull them out and get a pen. Now, it's predictable that most people set goals, but then immediately forget them. Some of you have already done that. You set some goals a few weeks ago for 100 days. You haven't even thought about them since then. And the reason why is because they don't know, or you don't know, these steps that we're going to look at today. And when people are unaware of what God says to do and how to move closer to your goal, then you tend to just forget the goal. It was a good start, but then that's it. So let's jump right into it. Here are the steps for accomplishing any God-given goal, regardless of what's going on around you, whether you got a pandemic or you're out of work or dealing with health issue, whatever. All right, let's get right into it. Step 1, write my goals on a prayer list and pray daily about them, about the goals. Write my goals on a prayer list and pray daily about them. That's the first step in getting your goals out there, is to get them on paper. You write them down on a prayer list. Now, if you've never put your goals on paper, I just have to be honest with you, you're not really serious about them. On the other hand, vague thoughts become specific goals when they pass through the filter of your lips and your fingertips. Your lips and your fingertips. If you can write down what your goal is and you can say what your goal is in a sentence, then it's going to be pretty clear. You're well on your way to achieving it. But if you can't say it and you can't write it, you're not going to achieve it. I read a study once that said less than 5% of the population in the world, less than 5% have written goals written down for their life. So you look at 100 people around you, there are only 5 of them have probably done this, written down their goals for their personal lives. But you know what? The study also showed that those 5% who've written them down tend to be the most successful, and in America, the most wealthy Americans. Why? Because nothing becomes dynamic until it becomes specific. You know, God once told a guy named Habakkuk to write down the vision he was given. In Habakkuk 2, chapter 2, verse 2, it says this, write down, circle that, write down the vision, make it clear on a tablet, so that anyone can read it quickly. Now circle the word quickly, all right? A goal must be so simple that you can get it quickly. It's succinct, it's short, and it's shareable. And God told Habakkuk, a great prophet, write down the vision that you have and make it clear on a tablet. Now, of course, in those days, tablets weren't electronic. When we talk about a tablet, we're talking about an iPad or something, or, you know, a Surface. But in those days, tablets were made of clay. Still, God says, write down your dream. Write it down on a tablet. Write down your vision. Write down your goal. He says, don't just daydream about your future. Write down some specific goals with some specific deadlines. But then he doesn't stop there. Did you notice the rest of that verse? You need to start praying about your goals every day. That way, you're not going to forget them. Now, I want you to notice a promise that God gives us when we write down what God has put in our heart to do and we begin to pray about it. Proverbs 16, verse 3 says this, commit to the Lord whatever you do. Commit to the Lord whatever you do. That's your goals. And then your plans will succeed. So it starts by writing them down. If you haven't done that, you're going nowhere. Write down your goals, make it a prayer list, and start praying about them every day. Here's step number 2. Make my goals visible. Make my goals visible. Now, what does that mean, to make my goals visible? It means you put them where you're going to see them several times a day. Maybe you put them on your bathroom mirror. Maybe you put them on your refrigerator door. Maybe you put them on your car dashboard. Maybe you put them at work on your desk. You might put them in multiple places so you don't forget them. Now, why should you do that? Make your goals visible. Because studies have shown, and I've told you this before, that you forget almost 95% of everything you hear or think about in about 3 days if you don't write it down, which is why we give these outlines out every week, because you're going to forget 95% of what I say by Wednesday if you don't take notes. James gives us this warning about forgetfulness. In James chapter 1, 23 and 24, he says this, anyone who listens to God's word without retaining it, that's remembering it, is like a person who looks at himself in a mirror and immediately forgets what he looks like when he walks away. So we need to write it down so that we can remember. Proverbs 3:21 says, hold on to good planning and good sense. Don't let them out of your sight. Now notice that phrase, don't let them out of your sight. That's why we're talking about making your goals visible. You don't want to let them out of your sight. So how do you make your good plans and your faith goals always in your sight? Well, one of the most practical ways is just make a poster, okay? Make a poster that writes out, here's my two goals, my personal goal and my ministry goal for the next 100 days. Make a poster, make it big enough that you can see it. Put it up somewhere, you're going to see it over and over. Did you know that God once told Isaiah to make a poster? Yeah, he did. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 1, look at this verse on the screen. Then the Lord said to me, take a large scroll, you know, get a big piece of paper, and write on it in large letters. Now, why did God tell Isaiah to do that? Because God wanted to use a visual to get people's attention. He wanted them to be continually reminded of what he was going to do. So he's saying, Isaiah, why don't you go make a poster and write it so big that everybody can see it. So here's your homework. I want you to write out your two goals on a large piece of paper. Now, if you're artistic, you can make it beautiful. Make it a thing of beauty. You can make a collage. You can color it. You can paint it. For those of us who are not artistic, just write out what your goals are. That's the second step. Now, here's the third step. Very important. We keep getting a little bit deeper with each of these steps. Number three, ask God to show me the steps I need to take. I ask God to show me the steps I need to take. A goal without steps is worthless. Psalm 25, verse 4 and 5 says this. This is a good prayer you could pray. Show me. This is a prayer to pray to God. Show me, Lord. Show me the path where I should walk. Oh, Lord, point out the right road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me. What is that verse saying? You're to pray, God, show me the steps I'm supposed to take to fulfill this goal. Show me. Are you praying that? Are you praying, so, you know, you set a couple goals? Well, then the next step is to say, Lord, show me the steps it'll take to get there. You know, the best example of this is in the book of Genesis. It's chapter 24. I'm not going to read the whole chapter to you. I once wrote a message on it, shared it a number of years ago, called Biblical Goal Setting, if you want to go watch it online. But Genesis 24 is the story of Abraham. And Abraham is a servant named Eleazar. And Abraham gives his servant Eleazar a huge task, a huge goal. What's the goal? He said, Eleazar, I want you to go back to my home country, to my home people, and I want you to find a wife for my son, Isaac. Pretty big goal. That's a pretty big responsibility. You're to find the proper wife, spouse, for your boss. And in Genesis chapter 24, if you go back and read it, it's about 50 verses. Eleazar brilliantly breaks down this big goal, find a wife for Isaac, into bite-sized tasks and steps. And honestly, it's a case study, Genesis 24. It's a case study of 10 classic steps. And that's the third thing you do. Break the message, break the goal, break the vision, break the object, objective, down into bite-sized bits. Now, I'm not going to go through all of the 10 steps that Eleazar went through, but let me just mention four of them. First, he defined his purpose. That's a good thing for you to do. What is my purpose in this goal? What is my specific, measurable goal? Second thing Eleazar did in Genesis 24:12 is he says, he determined his position. So where am I now? You set a goal, and then you determine your position. Where am I now? Next, he discovered a promise. And he asked, what promise from God can I claim as I go looking for a wife for Isaac? And he found a promise. And then, number four, he designed a plan. And he said, what steps is it going to take? And if you want to go read that passage, it's a great story on how to set steps toward your goal. Now, the key to reaching a goal are the steps that you lay out for it. If you don't have any steps, your goal is just going to be wishful thinking. So this third step is extremely important. Fortunately, God wants you to succeed in your goal setting. And he wants to guide you in the steps to your goal. He wants to share wisdom in your steps to the goal. He wants you to know the right steps to take. You just need to ask him. But I got to be honest with you. As your pastor, and I love you, I always tell you the truth, I need you to warn you about two things in setting up steps toward your goal. First, the larger your goal is, the more steps it's going to take. It's not going to happen overnight. You know, I had to learn this the hard way. At the end of the first year of Saddleback Church, I was a workaholic. I was working about 18 to 20 hours a day, getting this new church off the launch pad. I had no staff, nobody helping me. It was just Kay, and I was doing everything. I was doing all the preaching, all the teaching, all the baptizing, all the praying, all the counseling, all the visiting, the managing conflict and everything. And at the end of the first year, I just hit the wall, and I just ran out of energy. And I went through a period of depression that actually lasted the entire second year of the church. But in that year of depression, God gave me a very encouraging verse that I want to share with you. Here's the background. Moses was out of the picture. He had died. Joshua had arrived at the promised land, and he's going to lead the people into the promised land. And God said, there's going to be battles in there. And as they're getting ready, the night before they go into the promised land, God tells him, Joshua, this in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 22. It's on your screen. He says, I will drive out those nations before you, but little by little. Notice that, little by little. He said, you're not going to eliminate them all at once. Otherwise, the wild animals would multiply and take over too quickly, and you could not handle it. In the middle of my depression, the second year of Saddleback Church, God gave me that verse and an idea that I call pacing growth. God said, I'm not going to build this church overnight. I'm not going to do it all at once. So why do you think you're trying to get it all done in the first year? And that's what was depressing me, is I was trying to go too fast. God said to Joshua, I'm going to give you this promised land, but I'm not going to give it to you all at once. I'm going to drive the enemy out little by little so that you're able to handle it. If I drove them all at once, wild animals would come in and take over areas that you're not big enough to populate. And so he said, we're going to have pacing growth. Whatever your goal is in your life, God's going to do that with you. Why? Because while you're growing your goal, God is growing you. And that's far more interesting to God. God is much more interested in what you're becoming than what you accomplish. Why? Because when you go to heaven, you're not taking any of your accomplishments. What you're taking with you is your character. So you need to realize that the bigger your goal is, the longer it's going to take, and there will be pacing over a period of time. Here's another thing you need to remember. In order to build your faith, God wants to build your faith. And in order to teach you to trust him, God's not going to show you every step you need to take at the start. He's not going to show you all of the steps to get where you need to go. He's going to share them with you little by little. See, a lot of people, what they want is they want a map from God for their life. And they want a map where they can see, here's where I am, and here's the end, and here's how I get there. God's never going to give you a life map like that, where you can see everything from the beginning to the end on the map. Instead, he gives it to you on a scroll, where you roll it down a little bit, and you read it and go, oh, do that. And once you do that, he rolls down a little bit more, and you go, oh, do that. Once you do that, he rolls it down a little bit more. He gives you just enough light to take you to the next step. Believe me, I've had to learn this from experience. In 42 years of leading the Saddleback Church, God never showed me what the next step was for 5 years from now, or even a year from now. He'd say, this is the step I want you to take right now. And when I would do that, he would reveal the next one. This has been my experience for 42 years as your pastor, Saddleback. You know, if in the actually first year of this church, God had shown me and revealed to me all the steps I was going to have to make over the next four decades, I wouldn't have been able to handle it. It would have blown my mind. And there's no way I can do that. And so God's not going to show you all of the steps to get you to your goal right up front. He'll show you a few, and you do those, he'll show you more. You do those, he'll show you a few more. But you can count on this, and I know this to be true. God will always show you the next step in your life at the exact time you need it. When you need to know it, God will show it, and it will be revealed because God enjoys doing that. Did you know that? Look at this next verse on your outline. Psalm 37, verse 23 says this. The steps, we're talking about steps today, steps to getting to your goal, steps to getting to your vision, steps to fulfilling your dream. Psalm 37, 23 says, the steps of good people are directed by the Lord, and he delights, look at this, in each step they take. Circle the word each. God delights in each step you take. He enjoys watching you take each step. Now, if you're a parent, you understand exactly what this verse means. You understand this kind of delight because you enjoy watching your kids take larger and larger steps and more complex steps as they grow. But you didn't wait until they made the big step to start loving them. You love them at every stage of their growth. In their first baby step, in the stumbling that they did. You love them at every stage, no matter what step they were on. So get this. And if you don't get anything else I say today, get this. God is not waiting on you to get to a certain level of maturity before he starts enjoying you and enjoying a relationship with you. You can be a baby Christian who can't even crawl yet. You can't walk. You can't even crawl yet. But God loves you and enjoys you just as much as he does some saint who's walked with God for 70 years, all right? So these are the first three steps. Now we come to the fourth step in moving toward your goal, no matter what's happening in your life. And here's the fourth step. Identify barriers. What do I mean by that? Write this question down. Why don't I have this already? That is a fundamentally important question in your life. When you have something that you want, something you desire, a dream, a goal, an objective, you need to pause and say, why don't I have it already? Because there, in the answer to that question, you're going to find the barriers that you're going to have to deal with to get to the dream that God has put in your heart. Let's look at some verses. Proverbs 27, verse 12 says this, a sensible man, that's a wise man, a prudent man, a sensible man watches for problems ahead and prepares to meet them. But the fool never looks ahead and suffers the consequences. That's what this point's all about, anticipating the barriers in advance to becoming who you want to be, to doing what you want to do, to achieving whatever you want to achieve, to having whatever you want to have. The great people, they look ahead, but the fool never looks ahead and they suffer the consequences. You anticipate what are the potential barriers between me and my goal. You got to be realistic. You see, you're going to face challenges. But if you can identify those obstacles in advance, guess what? They're not going to be so intimidating. As a leader, I am always trying to think of what are going to be the next barriers in the growth of Saddleback Church. I'm not thinking about right now. I'm thinking about what are the problems we're going to have next year, 5 years, 10 years. I try to think through what could hold us back. What are the unintended consequences of what we're doing right now? What I'm talking about is just being a wise woman or being a wise man. Proverbs 18, verse 4 says this, Living Bible. The wise man looks ahead, but the fool attempts to fool himself and won't face the facts. They won't face the facts. Ever met anybody like that? They're in total denial of reality. What barriers? I don't see any barriers out there. All they can see is I've got this great dream. Have you thought about it? It's going to take money. It's going to take contacts. It's going to take energy. It's going to take time. Things could go wrong in the economy. You could have a pandemic, you know, all those kind of things. He's saying this fourth step is to stop and go, why don't I have it already? And what could keep me from getting it? And once you've done that, you're ready for the fifth step. And the fifth step is an important step. Write this down.
That important fifth step will be discussed tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of Markin' Friends, along with the sixth, seventh, and eighth step that'll help you keep moving forward toward your goals in our series by Pastor Rick Warren, Habits That Help Me Hold On in Hard Times. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow. And if you missed a portion of today's broadcast or want to hear the other messages from Tuesday and Wednesday from the past month or so, stop by greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org and look under the Mark and Friends tab. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.